Well, happy St. Patrick Day. Sir, we want to see Jesus. These are the words we hear in the gospel today. The Greeks who came to Jerusalem to worship, and they say, Sir, we want to see Jesus. Today we celebrate our patronal feast, St. Patrick. A little story about him that many don't know. But St. Patrick was initially captured by pirates and sold into slavery, in this land across the waters known as Ireland. And he was a slave for 6 years and eventually escaped and returned to his homeland in Britain. But then he had this dream. And the dream was of the people of Ireland appearing to him, the children of Ireland appearing to him, saying that they came to him with their thirst, saying, we are hungry, we are thirsting for something that you have. And he knew that to be Christ. Essentially, it was their desire, Sir, we want to see Jesus. And of course, this is what drove St. Patrick then to leave everything he has and go back to the land that had been so cruel to him, that had enslaved him, and to bring that gospel back there. Sir, we want to see Jesus. And as we've been going through Lent this season, I've been building on this theme in my preaching of this, believe in the beloved, that we are beloved of God, and to believe in this one, the beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And then a couple weeks ago, about talking about this beloved Son wanting then to bring us into right relationship and authentic worship, even if that includes him flipping over some tables on our part. But what about the way we worship? This desire for Jesus, Sir, we want to see Jesus. This is the desire, this is meant to be at the heart of our worship, that desire to see and to know Jesus, and to encounter him in our worship. Now, I have a little confession to make. Growing up, especially in my middle and high school years, I did not like how we as Catholics worshiped. I was not a fan. Especially because I would go to my friend's church down the road, the more hip and with it church in town, you know, and the music was incredible, and there were people who were very, very genuinely worshiping, and there was this very upbeat music that was very, very incredible and moving for me, and I really liked that style of worship. Plus, you know, they had one of those coffee shops right in the back there, so you could get your mocha and worship at the same time, your Java and Jesus. So it was pretty sweet. I was a fan. But then I go to my church, the Catholic Church. We'd be doing all these, you know, stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. And all these other rules, you know, we'd say these words and prayers that we'd said a million times. But as I got older, I began to realize that there was so much more to this worship, this Mass, than I'd ever realized before. First of all, I started studying scriptures more, and I began to realize how biblical our worship is. That in the biblical times, the two main forms of worship for the Jewish people were meditating on the scriptures in the synagogue, and then the sacrifice at the temple, of temple worship. And that those are taken up by Christ in our liturgy of the word and our liturgy of the Eucharist, because Christ is the new sacrifice. He is the one eternal sacrifice and covenant. And how, if you read the early documents of the Christians who lived during the times of the apostles and immediately thereafter, when they talk about how they worshiped, it's amazing reading through, and they talk about, essentially, it sounds just like our worship today. That this coming together to meditate on the words and having someone preach on the word and then celebrating the Lord's Supper with the Eucharist, with the prayer of thanksgiving, that's essentially, those elements have remained in our worship for centuries all the way up till today. And I began to realize also, the more I began to learn about how we worship, I began to realize this profound thing, that this worship is not about me. That it's not about me and what I want and what I like in worship. But that doing these things we do in our worship at Mass, that in a way it's not about me, but it's about drawing me out of myself and about me dying to myself so that Jesus can live in me. And that doing these things, that during Mass, is exactly doing that. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, Jesus says, it remains just a grain of wheat. When I began to realize the spiritual reality of what's happening every time we come to church and celebrate Mass, it's exactly this, that we come to die to ourselves, to become something more than what we are, something more than just our own broken humanity, but for us as a grain of wheat to die so that a new life may come into us, the life of Christ. So everything we do at Mass is to help us understand and enter into that reality, that everything we do is supposed to teach me about who I am in relation to God, that who I'm supposed to be, what my relationship is, what my posture is supposed to be when encountering the divine majesty. And it's these rituals are teaching me how I'm to orient and shape and direct my entire rest of my life. So what does this have to do with my daily grind of life, of going to school, of studying, of working, of trying to figure out the messiness of family life, of the drama of friendship or the dating world? Well, frankly, everything. That it's in coming here and doing these things that I'm learning how my life is meant to be oriented. That we stand up at the gospel to realize that this gospel of Christ is to pull me out of my selfishness and laziness. That it's the gospel of Christ that draws me to my feet, that draws me out of what I would be if I had rule over my life into something more. That it draws me to my feet to know the readiness that I'm being called to a mission, that I'm being called to something greater than myself. Or so too, then when encountering the divine majesty, the beauty and power and his overwhelming love and his overwhelming holiness, when we sing holy, 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 then we fall to our knees. To realize the spiritual reality is that we are encountering something that is to bring us to our knees and to surrender ourselves to this. This whole thing is not about me, because it's about me surrendering my life, handing my life over to this one who gave his life for me. This exchange of life, my life for his life for mine, so that I might live no longer for myself out of my own brokenness, but out of his life in spirit and truth. And by the way, I only recently realized, but Catholicism is one of the few Christian denominations that includes falling to our knees, kneeling, as a regular part of our worship. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend and bow. That this is a normal part of our worship. And the reason it is because it's supposed to teach us who we are and what our posture is supposed to be before the living God. And I know, I'm pretty sure I've shared this story before, but it's worth sharing again. That a friend of mine, she was talking about her, I think it was her mother-in-law or her grandmother-in-law, who lived, so when she was an elderly lady in, I don't know, the 50s or something, she was born and raised Protestant, but one day she showed up to the priest and said, I want to become Catholic, and started doing classes with him. And just on her own, she didn't know anyone who was Catholic, but the priest finally asked her, why is it you want to become Catholic? And she said, well, because I want to belong to a religion that brings men to their knees. And I love that story. But I think there's something to that. That's exactly the reason we do these things, the reason we kneel, is because it's supposed to remind us what this is all about. That I'm surrendering myself to something that does bring me to my knees. And not just to something, but to someone. Surrendering my life, handing everything in my life over to Christ. Then in offertory, we prayerfully give over our things, the stuff we have, our gifts, as well as and in falling to our knees, our hearts and our lives, we offer it up to Christ on this altar. And as Jesus says in the gospel today, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And when he is lifted up, of course, in the way he shall die, as he says, in the crucifixion. But then throughout the Mass, we have these elevations, the elevation of the book of the Gospels, the symbol of Christ, his word among us. It's elevated before us in the elevation of the bread and the wine, which in that moment during the Eucharistic prayer then becomes no longer bread and wine, but is Jesus Christ's body and blood elevated and lifted up before us to draw all people to himself. That in this Mass, when we celebrate the Eucharist, it's not just merely a symbol, but a mystical encounter with that very moment of Christ on the cross, outpouring his life for us as we turn over our lives to him, to pour out his divine life into us, and all to glorify his name. As Jesus prays in the Gospel, Father, glorify your name. And all of this, what we experience is also this entering into the covenant renewal, this covenant meal, as we say every time at Mass. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, which will be poured out for you, for the forgiveness of sins. That every week we come back here, it's the Lord renewing his everlasting covenant for us. That this is my body and blood, which I pour out for you, day in and day out, that I'm constantly pouring out my life for you, so receive it. This is my body and blood given up for you. And in doing these things, so that the Lord can write this covenant, to engrave it in our hearts, as we heard in the first reading today from Jeremiah, that the Lord says, I will write this law upon their hearts. That everything we're doing here in worship, these exterior things we're doing, is meant to teach us the interior thing, the spiritual reality that's happening. What the Lord wants to do is to engrave that onto our hearts, to pour out his life in us, that we live no longer as ourselves, but live out of his life. Unless a grain of wheat dies, it remains but a grain of wheat. So, all of this is to bring us more authentically to the heart of worship. There was a song that came out a couple decades ago by Matt Redman and popularized by Michael W. Smith called The Heart of Worship. And the words he says in this praise and worship song, he says, when the music fades, when all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I will bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required, but you search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. So I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. That at the end of the day, it's not about the music. It's not even about the homily, how good it is. Hopefully you get a good homily, but, and maybe this is just a cop-out for me for all the bad homilies I give, but that it's not about those things, but it's about coming to that heart of worship. It's also not about me or what I want or what I like, but it's about Jesus. And it's about me coming to hand my life over to him, to surrender my life, so that he can pour his divine life into me. And so, as we come upon Holy Week, Palm Sunday, and the Triduum, and Easter, the highest week of the year for us, to really pray about entering into that heart of worship, authentic worship, to go in and experience this Holy Week, not as just about something for me, but about entering into the authentic worship, where it's all about Christ, and driven by that desire in our hearts, that's engraved in our hearts, Sir, I want to see Jesus.